Well, okay, Dr. Fred Bell is our guest. We're going to take your phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Dr. Fred Bell. We're going to take your phone calls this hour as well. Your website constantly looks good, my friend. Who does it? Do you do it yourself or do you have a staff?
I have a couple people that do it. Don over at BBS does it for me at bbsradio.com. And then I've got another guy. We're coming up with another site, too, to watch out for. We'll be posting it on our site where I have a lot of archives on one place right now. We're going to be putting a lot of other archives up for a lot of the things we talked about. I have many in-depth shows from the internet where people can get a lot more information. So we'll have all that up too. So we're growing. We're going to probably have 3 or 4 websites out there to handle different phases of the stuff that we're into, because people are really seem to want the knowledge now. And then we're
Fred, if everything you've worked on over the last few years,
yeah.
Is there one thing that really fascinates you the most?
Well, I honestly think that although I wasn't the holographic stuff that I'm doing, it doesn't fascinate me. It blows me away because it's like it's just this is ridiculous. It's too simple, you know. I'm a person that likes to make things complicated.
Right.
If something's not broken, I'm going to fix it. I'm that kind of person. And this stuff we've been talking about tonight is real. It's real. It's very advanced. There's a lot of government agencies and universities doing studies on it about how this works with plants and all kinds of other things. And I'm just telling you, I am blown away daily by what I see, especially in the healing area, some of the stuff that we've done with people. And I'm not making any medical claims, but people do heal themselves, but it happens so much faster, you know. And it speeds things up because there's so many environmental blockages out there, including psychic, ELF, you know, the stuff that comes from the satellites, the drugs. I mean, it's just endless what goes on. And I've been able to take each problem and diagnose it and come up with a solution in one at a time. A lot of work with cancer, you know, a lot of work with weak organs and liver problems. And it's not me doing it. There's doctors out there. And as people get to know us, you know, and talk to my staff, we'll give you names and send you places to go to get a heck of a lot more information than what I'm putting out here tonight. Because this is, you know, I'm always going at a high speed, hyper rate with you, because you and I bounce around like the universe.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
By the way, light my fire at break.
That's for you.
Huh?
That's for you.
Yeah, I know. I like that. And guess what? I could play the flute to that because nobody's listening. You know, I played it all the notes. But
sure you can. Fred.
Yeah, but now, yeah, right. You don't believe me. That's okay. No, I actually did. But, I mean, getting up here and playing a flute on a telephone to a whole lot of people, I'm not quite there yet. You know? But at least I'll try, you know.
How quickly does this holograph projector work in that you start getting results and seeing them?
Well, it worked with me. First things were simple. It was working instantaneously, you know. Then it got to working a little bit better. And then I kind of got myself in a funk because I kind of made it go too fast. And I got too many projects going and I can't, you know, that's a waste of the energy. So I slowed things down a little bit. I'd like to tell you some more stories, but it's going to come across as too materialistic. But on the healing front, there's a lot of great things that are happening, and they work pretty fast. And we've got this one guy, his name is Steve Barish, and we'll hand his phone number out over our you know, phone lines when people call in. And he will talk to a lot of the listeners out there. And this guy, he does 300 people a month in his clinic. And he's get people to walk in there that are partially paralyzed and stuff. And in a couple of sessions with this technology, they're not paralyzed anymore. And he will give you the name of the people,
I want to talk to this guy.
Yeah, I will. I'll give you his phone number.
All right, you said it.
I just want to put
us.
It out on the air because that's
no,
not
I
fair.
Understand.
Yeah,
I know. We don't want to blast him away.
No.
Let's take some calls. East of the Rockies, you're on with Dr. Fred Bell on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. This is David from Georgia.
Hi, David.
David.
Fred, George.
Good.
I have a question for Fred.
Okay.
My friend has a patent, distribution rights and manufacturing rights of a patent from a scientist from Germany. A German scientist that was from Iran. His name's Dr. Hassabi.
Okay.
And he invented a generator that runs on water. And right now it's passed all tests, and now it's in front of the energy board Now, how does that go about, and how does what would fail on that? Or would they turn it down, being the motor companies and gas and oil and pollution?
It depends on how you present it. One of the first things I always tell people, if they're really serious about their inventions, don't get a patent on it, because you're just giving it away. You don't put a patent on it until you got a deal. And then, because what happens is, so you put a patent on it, and what happens is you've given it away. Somebody bigger than you comes along and takes it away from you. Go ahead and defend yourself. Can't do it. So the little guy should never get a patent on it. Then present it to the right people that are interested. That's very important.
Okay, because it's a generator, runs on water, and it makes static electricity.
Yeah, no, that I can understand that. Hydrogen's got a tremendous amount of energy in it, and you separate hydrogen from oxygen, and you've got a lot of pure power. It makes what you call hydrogen bombs in its purest form in fusion. So
it runs on just tap water, and it makes static electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with some devices that work along those lines. I've actually seen some prototypes in my time.
Okay. You haven't heard about the scientist by the name Asabi?
His name does sound familiar, yeah. Okay. I don't know him intimately, but I've heard of him, you know.
Okay. Yeah. And thanks for your call and your input on that. Pass it on, and he's going to eventually, you know, do a news, try to do a press release on it and everything.
Yeah,
and see what he can get done.
Hey, get him on the show if he gets this thing going.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
that'd be a great show.
I've talked to the George's guy at the desk, Tom, and I've been waiting to. I mean, it's probably going to be within a couple months. He's going to come on the show and present it and go from there.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you being on the program. That would be fascinating.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of stuff like that coming along, and that'll be fascinating. But like I say. Especially on the stuff over at Wi-Fi we were talking about, we got it. We're ready to file patents on some of them, but they're not till we get the deal. We've demonstrated it works. There are a few patents, but some proprietary stuff won't be filed until the deal is made. I learned this from the guys that play big games. You know what I mean? Billionaire type entrepreneurs, and they don't patent stuff until it's ready to go, because it's a vicious world out there when you got something that works, and it's even more when it's going to make a lot of money.
Good point. Wildcard line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello. Going once. Are you there?
It's an auction.
No, it's too bad. They wait so long sometimes, and then we catch them catnapping, and they miss it.
Yeah, it's late at night for some people.
Yeah, that's true. You're on the air, Wildcard Line, another line. Go ahead.
Hi, George. This is Mark. I have he's very entertaining, your guest, but I have a problem with a couple of things he said.
Well, fire away, and let's let him respond.
Okay. If he worked on the Philadelphia experiment, which I believe was conducted in 1943, if he was 14 at the time, it means he was born in 1929. But if he was 21 and 22, hanging around the Whiskey when Jim Morrison was playing there, that puts him being born in 1945.
1943. That's what I said on the show. And I worked on it at the Randolph Labs about 8 or 9 years later. So that would have been about 1943, 53, about 55, 56 is about the time I worked on it as a young kid.
Yeah, 43 is when the Philadelphia experiment
occurred. That's what happened, right. We worked on it afterwards in the lab. We had the equipment that was taken off the Eldridge in a lab. That was my point. I said that. I thought I said that. I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah.
Okay, what year were you born?
1943, August. Yeah, University of Michigan Hospital. His name. I even got my birth certificate. it was Henry Ford's personal physician that, because my dad was working with Henry Ford, that delivered me, which was kind of cute, you know.
All right. All right. Fine. The only reason that I question it is all this is very entertaining.
Yeah. It
but,
is.
But when you talk about weapons being moved to the Bekaa Valley,
yeah.
Which is like. So ridiculous, I can't tell
well,
you.
Well, but believe it or not, whether we believe that or not, there have been other sources outside of Fred Bell that have said that.
I've heard that.
I have some in my book. These are old documents. I will be, they'll have some information numbers from the government, and they'll be in my book, Inside Track. That's going to be published. I've been given published information on that. I have it here documented. And I can't put that up on my internet show because it's going in my book, but it's very documented, believe me, very documented.
I just don't understand why we didn't do anything. Yeah. We didn't do anything to Syria
no.
Once they moved it.
No, and then all the Iraqis are moving over there now. That's where everybody went. Remember Saddam Hussein's daughter went.
They all fled.
Yeah, she went there. Remember the daughter when she went there, the older daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Right after the war started, there she was. And there's a whole story that goes with that. But I don't know why they didn't, you know, it's buried. They know exactly where it is. And it's guarded. The Syrians are guarding that valley. They'd have to have a conflict, you know.
I think he's going to get sentenced pretty soon. I mean, they were talking about October, but that's been pushed back.
Saddam?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'll never execute him. They'll keep him around forever.
I agree with you. Even though if they sentence him to execution, I don't think they'll do it.
No, they won't. I know they won't.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah. Hi, George, and hi, Mr. Bell.
Hi there.
I have two quick questions, and then I'll take the answer off of the air.
Okay.
why couldn't they mess with their minds by putting a big hologram up in the air above Baghdad, let's say, and then use one of these things like HAARP to, you know, put into their minds like I'm Allah or whoever their God is and stop all this fighting right now and killing your people and or I'll destroy you, you know. And it seemed like something like that would work because those people are kind of goofy anyway, you know.
Well, they're doing something that's just the opposite of that. They're actually putting out energy, something like HAARP, that actually makes them more angry.
Oh, I see.
Because terrorism, you know, terrorism is, you know, very important right now to stabilize our economy, believe it or not. It's kind of sick because they want to take, you know, like we lost habeas corpus. That was a great thing. And let me explain real quick, if you have a second, how that works. I know a guy that was recently indicted by the Post Office Department. What he was doing was this. He was taking cars, you know, from different states and registering them in one state that had a very low registration fee, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What happened was he got arrested by the feds. Postmaster General came out and arrested him. They do that, mail fraud. He got into court. When he got into court, they said, we got another charge against you. And he says, what? Well, you printed all these brochures, anti-government. You were saying that Bush is that and this is that, and this is now a federal charge. Now, that's what happens when you don't have habeas corpus. I saw this happen. I know the attorney that's defending this guy. As long as you don't get in trouble and you badmouth the government and you put out pictures, you've got your freedom of speech and
well,
print.
Well, one of our guests, Fred, you've heard the name Steve Quayle before, right?
Yeah, of course.
He apparently, on his little radio show today, he said that he had heard that the government is going to ban all radio talk shows. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but it's interesting to see where he even got
that. They like to do that. They like to do it. But remember, once you're indicted for something, you've lost your constitutional freedoms, and anything you did that was not against the law before indictment is now against the law. That's what habeas corpus means, and a lot of people don't get that one, okay?
Hey, that's George.
Yes, sir.
This is for you, George.
Okay.
I'd sure like to see some of the UFO reports again from Peter Davenport. I think those were really neat.
Yeah, I just had Peter on about 2 weeks ago. You must have missed him.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed
him. Yeah, he had a great one about a UFO sighting over Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
he pops in every once in a while when you least expect it.
You know, you could have MUFON on once in a while or something.
The MUFON report.
Yeah, thank you.
That's not bad. All right, thanks.
On the UFO thing, remember, it's against, there's pretty much a law, I forget what this law is called, but it does not allow outside information from other governments to come on the AP wire services. It's another banishment of our freedoms. So the UFO stuff is going on all over the place. It's either localized, like in Chicago there, or you get it on the Internet from one of the Internet, but it does not come across. You won't ever see it on a radio show or a TV show. That's another one of our little freedoms we don't have anymore.
What do you think about the guy in the United Kingdom, Gary McKinnon, who broke into the Pentagon and NASA websites to find out if they knew anything about UFOs and anti-gravity propulsion? He could get 70 years for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not a problem. Not a problem.
Yeah, he did commit a crime. He broke into, he hacked into those websites, but I don't think it deserves 70 years.
No, no. But then there's another thing. You know what's illegal? I forget the legislation that was passed. I used to know the HR number, the House resolution number, that makes it illegal for you to be a contactee. And that's probably going to come up. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I swear to God, I have that.
You're saying that there is a bill or a law?
A law. A law that says you are not allowed to, without, you know, contact alien nations, not meaning Indians, but it's, I forget how the wording on it, but I have it here. You know, I should put that.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I have it here.
Oh, were they talking about extraterrestrials?
Yeah, well, Bill Cooper led me to it. Of course, he's not around anymore, as you know.
No,
he was
killed. He died in that gunfight.
Yeah, and I knew his wife, his kid, and that other guy that was on there that had that shootout over at Dulce, New Mexico. I was at three times I was with film crews at Dulce, New Mexico, and ultrasound equipment. And that's
now,
true
now who was that?
Huh?
Who was that at Dulce? I'm
trying to remember this guy's name. He's he was one of the, is the guy that didn't have any fingers on one hand because he'd been shot. I'll have to remember his name here. It'll come up in a minute. But I've seen some stuff on the website recently. It surfaced from his historical stuff. He wrote a book. He worked for the government. He was involved in that firefight at Dulce. He was one of two survivors, and then they took him out. A few years ago, they found himself hung, and he committed suicide hanging himself. But I have seen too many people get killed by these different groups in the government, which there's a new group that I don't even, it's just beyond the NSA that's out there now. And if you get, there's a place where you cross the line and then you have a problem. And he did that. And Bill Cooper did the same thing. I was going to say,
what did you think of Bill Cooper?
Well, I knew Bill when he was sober. I knew Bill when he drank. But I also know.
There were two different people.
Two different people, like a lot of, serious drinking problem people. But he had major, major contacts, very big contacts. And what his problem was is that, there's a place where you get your information from the government and you put out the information in a non-biased way. And you don't bring in, like, personalities like Mr. So-and-so and such, but you just bring it out in generalization. And you can make some pretty brash statements. But he didn't do that. He wanted to get personal and name names. Exposed some CIA people that he knew. He should have done that, and that's how he ended up.
Accurate, or was he up there in the clouds?
No, he was very accurate when he was writing his book, because I was researching with another guy named Richard Murray, who was a researcher for both of us.
That was connected to the Rand Corporation.
Remember the Rand Corporation? I was inside the Rand Corporation with Richard Murray, and that was a think tank for a lot of different things. I used to physically go up to the Hughes think tank in Malibu. I was in there many times. Because that, goes way back, but that's what I did. And I knew these people, and I knew a lot of stuff that I didn't talk about. I still, even today, like on the government stuff, on the Homeland Security thing, I'm just giving you a general lay of the land. I'm not getting specific at all. I know not to do that, because it's not very good for the national security. Just say it's happening, because if you research it, it's there. And that's what you got to do. At least I do. I've learned to keep alive and be respected and not release this stuff and not get blazingly drunk and start spouting off semi-classified stuff,
And that's what Cooper did.
And I saw him do it. Because the conventions we used to do, some of these whole life shows, some of these other conventions, we had a lot of law enforcement coming, attendees. We had a lot of government people coming.
He used to get into a few little scraps every once in a while at these conventions, too, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he put out more than a few scraps when he got really loaded. You get him in a bar after the convention was over at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, he'd go after you.
Yeah, he'd go after you. And he'd go after the government, and the government people were always spying on us. This is back in the 80s, and this was hot stuff. I mean, we still had the Berlin Wall up, and the CIA was all over the place in those days. And
so you don't think Cooper was nuts?
Well, when he was drunk, yeah.
When he was drunk, he was.
Yeah, right. But when he was sober, he was very brilliant. He was very brilliant, very different person.
And accurate?
Yeah, yeah. But he wouldn't. His sources in the government wouldn't have given him all that information that came out in that book that he wrote, the Pale Horse book. He wouldn't have had all that information had they known what he was going to do with it and turn it upside down.
No, that's a good point. Stay with us, Fred. Back with final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, our guest is Marie Jones. Now listen to this one. As we take down a road, as she investigates the existence of poltergeists, time anomalies, UFOs, telekinesis, she's got it all. We'll be with her tomorrow on Coast to Coast AM. More than 50 new species of animals and plants have been discovered in a lost world type area of the island of Borneo in just 18 months, according to scientists. Fred, that stuff is so incredible, where you continue on this planet to find things that you just never knew existed.
Oh, I know.
And the same could be, you know, just about anything.
Yeah. Well, there's so much. In South America is like another world down there. Do you know that?
Yeah.
And by the way, the guy's name was Phil Schneider, and he was strangled by piano wire in 1996.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't he the one also had the theory of the hollow earth?
Yeah, I think he was part of it, but that's what he did. He was a geologist, and he was running those underground digging machines, and they ran into the aliens. That's how they ran into them. And his dad was a U-boat commander who came over here on Operation Paperclip, and he was developed a lot of these cameras that we use in satellites. That was Phil's into the government, into the intelligence field, through his dad, who was a U-boat commander in World War II. So, yeah. Yeah, he specialized in underground stuff. You can look him up on the internet, and you'll see his name there.
He may have been a guest of Art's a long time ago.
Yeah, before he died. Yeah. He always said that he would probably get, you know, because he I've seen his lectures, and he would hold up his hand at some point, and his fingers were gone, and I saw some stories about when it happened. He was pretty young, and some pictures from back there, and he had an amazing story, but it pretty much checked out, because when I used to go up to Dulce, when I was up there filming, I have a treaty with the Jicarí Apaches. The Jicarías, the guy that run that place was a very famous artist, and a lot of his paintings, like Custer's Last Stand, that were in the Smithsonian. So they got a lot of money. So they built a Best Western Inn up there. It was like a Hilton in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I used to go up there with film crews. I had Sean Morton up there once. We went up there, and Jim De La Telso, and a lot of these names. And one night I was up there because I had a treaty to go on the reservation anytime, anywhere. I was out in the middle, about 15 miles out from the reservation, on the reservation, but out of town. And then I ran across about 1 o'clock in the morning, this little like 15-year-old girl, and she was just having a fit. She was screaming and she was scared. So I pulled over at a big truck and I got her inside. And I said, "What happened?" She said, "Oh my God, my boyfriend and I had a big fight, and he threw me out, and I'll get abducted out here. You know, I'll never make it back. These things come and they grab us." And it's true. There were so many abductions of those Indians up there in Dulce, because that was a real hostile environment back in the early 80s, all this was going on. That's when
when she said these things grab us, what kind of things was she talking about?
The grays. Remember what's his name up there had all his cows, had like a huge amount of cows, cored out, you know, with no blood on the ground.
Right.
Remember his name? And he works. He won't talk about it. A friend of mine who owned a very large company went up there one time coming back from a trade show. And he was up there at Dulce, and I told him how to go in and use this and do that. And he went in there, and when he came out the next day, in his big, first of all, a ship came down near his motorhome. He had like one of the most expensive motorhomes, and it killed all the batteries. And his sister was going to go out, and he threw her on the floor and says, "Don't you dare do that. Because if you do, you go out and do that, you're gonna be abducted here. This is dangerous. This is not fooling around." The next day, he got followed out of Dulce all the way back to his house, and they set up surveillance across the street from his house in Phoenix, down the street. Actually, it was a nice neighborhood where he lived. And finally, after about 6 weeks, he went and confronted them because they were spying on him, and the guy was packing up, and he showed him his credentials. He said he was the Naval Bureau of Ships, and he was. Well, John says, "Why are you spying on me? You know, I'm an industrialist." He's like very big guy, you know, in the business. And in Hillfield, he's like a billionaire. And so, and he's not afraid of anybody. And he approached this guy and he says, "Well, we didn't know who you were." He says, "You had that little skirmish up in Dulce, but we know you're okay now, so we're leaving." And that really happened. I mean, I don't make these stories up. There's no reason for it. But that Dulce was a hotbed. Now it's pretty cooled out now. It's not so bad up there anymore. But it was a hotbed back in the 80s.
All right, back to the phones we go. Let us go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Beth. I'm calling from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Hi, Beth. Go ahead.
Hi. I am curious about the chemtrails and the bromine. If they're doing this to affect the general population, what I don't understand is why it's not affecting them, whoever they are. What are they doing to protect themselves and their families?
Good question. Here's exactly what's happening. If you notice, you know, they're closing a lot of above-ground bases. Military mostly now is going underground. That's why they have all these tunnel systems that are running all over the place now that run on what's called maglev. That's a machine, a train that goes on a magnetic levitation system. It's not that complicated. And so a huge installations are being put underground now, because that seems to be generally where people are going to end up, especially with the global warming going on, all these chemicals. And they also are using devices that are pretty interesting, something like what we make, to prevent these chemicals from harming you. We've developed systems here in my work that you can, I can test you, I can put bromine in your hand and test you with a nuclear receptor, and you'll be strong with it. You'll be able to transmute the energy. So they have these energy transmutation devices, somewhat similar to the ones that I make. I've seen them. So they take preventive measures, like, you know, if you're going to use mustard gas on somebody, have a gas mask. And so that's what they do. And so they have these preventive things. They're on nutritional programs. And, you know, Codex, they're trying to take away our nutrition. Our last stand against this is, one of them is nutrition. And
didn't they do that in Europe already too?
It's 192 countries. I'm working with Dr. Riva LeBeau, who's married to Major General Stubblebine from the Army, and they're leading the movement against it. She's over in with the president of India right now. They just came back from Thailand, and I talk to her all the time. And here's the deal. Here's the definition. Anything that you put in their body, your body, lettuce, anything that's healthy, and you can see any measurable biological change, it's good. They want to make it illegal. So you theoretically can't have fresh food anymore, because that's how strict it is. Look it up, Codex Ametrius on a website. Go to one of my websites at BBS. You'll see it there, a direct link. Check it out. It's really happening. I'm in the middle of this one, you know.
Let's go big one. East of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. George?
Yes, hi.
Okay, hi. My name is Ebony Earth. First of all, I want to say thank you for just having Dr. Fred Bell on. Hi,
you
Dr.
Are
Fred
welcome.
Bell.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you.
Oh, wow, you're awesome. And my question was, first of all, I'm enjoying your energy, really, actually. But at the same time, I wanted to know more about the WFWL, the stock market.
Yeah.
And also if you can go into as far as what other good stocks that we could invest in, and at the same time, what about the hologram, and how can I visit your home?
Well, you need to sign up. You go to our website, Paradigm.com, okay, or call one of the toll-free numbers, which we'll give out in a minute, and that will give you the information how to come to a seminar and then come to, which is in June here in Laguna Beach, in this beautiful resort, and then you can come up and see this stuff.
Okay, and I will.
Yeah. As far as, I don't give stock information because, believe it or not, I'm not much at stocks. I don't gamble in Vegas, and I don't do stocks. I just happen to be involved
with
one company. So I couldn't tell you anything about the stock market other than I know. When I used to have my electronics business, I used to invest in companies, you know, as on the side as fun, in companies that paid their bills. So when I was doing a stock investigation on any kind of a stock that's over the counter or on the pink sheets, find out if they pay their bills. Do a P&L on them. That tells you whether they got real money or not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
That you had said earlier on the show, though, you said WFWL.
Yeah, that's the number, WFWL.
Okay. And what was the I just got the number to it. What was actually the technology?
The technology is many different types of sensors monitored to a proprietary computer system that uplinks through the Orange Coast to the NSA computers, and it's on every single container. That's where it's headed to go, on every single container coming into this country.
Okay.
And there's several people trying to do that, but this company's done it. And they're the only ones that's proven it's done.
Okay. And then one more last question I guess I want to ask you. What about, what's your take on, like, stones, gems, and crystals?
Now, what is that?
Like, as far as, what's your take, what's your opinion on stones,
we use all of that
gems,
stuff.
And crystals?
When we use our Stargate technologies that we demonstrate, we use the holographic projectors, we use lasers, we use big, powerful, like, 100-pound clusters that we fire massive laser amounts of energy into to release these huge photons. I mean, if you look at my book, we're on top of a vortex in Laguna Beach, which is a very well-known vortex. It's even stronger than the ones over in Sedona. So we use the natural forces, you know, the natural vortex forces, along with the other forces that we've learned, and we engineer it all into one synchronous machine. It's sort of like a nuclear reactor that you're in, but it's all a natural frequencies to the body. It's not alien to you. However, like I was telling George, you do need grounding equipment. Like that star orb I was telling him, is very necessary to have this stuff grounded out, or it will flip you upside down. It's the best way I can describe it, you know.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
Bad and that in Fort Worth, Texas. Look forward to seeing you in Austin next
yes.
month.
June 27th. Jan 27th, yeah.
I will be there. Dr. Bell, have you ever read any of Carlos Castaneda's works?
All of it.
What do you think about his stuff?
Well, you know, when you look at psychedelic mushrooms and you look at the structure of the mushroom, and then you take a seashell and you put it up to your ear and you hear it, okay? That same, if you look at the cross section of a mushroom, it has what we call chordal chambers, and the chemical substance and the physical shape and the geometry of a mushroom, when it's taken into the body, displaces serotonin. And when you displace serotonin, it opens up the neurons in the synapses in the brain and your aura field to higher frequencies that people would call supernatural, but they're really just above the normal common day. And so that's what he was all about, you know. It was about reaching and attaining that state of, you know, some people call it enlightenment, but it's a temporary state. And there's a lot of disciplines of, you know, eating and exercises and yoga that need to go with it to make it a fluid thing. It's kind of like...
Dr. Bell, did you ever read... The Book of the Subgenius or Revelation X by any chance?
No.
A lot of things that you're talking about are just in that book. I mean, it's just an incredible, every little conspiracy and the aliens and things like that, it's all...
Yeah, well, the Pleiadians taught me, one of the things that I was studying with the Pleiadian technology was how their ships are made. And they had one process of a greenhouse where they would actually create a large spore that would be like a giant mushroom. That would be like 20 feet across. And they would have all these chord chambers in it, like a mushroom does. Then they would do like Leo Fender did when he was a guitarist. He would shoot a die into a tree and then get the rings in the tree to become a certain color and make a beautiful wildwood guitar. Well, that's what the Pleiadians did, and they would create a harder than metal substance that would be like a hull of their ship. And that's the same technology. It's all there. I got that written up in my book, Rays of Truth, but it's explained in there. But this is, and it had to, then in the greenhouse, had to have certain kinds of sound, certain kinds of soil. And I have seen, and this is getting down to nanotechnology where you take these things called buckyballs, which are very small, about 4 or 5 microns across, and you put them in a carbon fiber, and you can make a piece of hair strong enough to lift a Mack truck, something the size of your hair. That's the technology that we're coming into, and that's the technology that they had already, and that's where we learned it from.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks.
Oh,
couple
welcome.
More minutes to go, and that is it. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Hello, Dr. Bell.
Hi.
I've got a question. This is regarding the chemtrails.
Okay.
Are we the only country that has an active spraying program?
No. No, it's on. There's. I know that England has it. I know we've got it. I'm sure some of the European countries have it. I don't know who all where has it anymore, but it's around. Countries like Japan won't have anything to do with it, and there's certain countries that don't want the consciousness to
mm-hmm.
So it depends on the consciousness of the particular country. It's like when I used to formulate vitamins, you know. When I formulated vitamins, I could use Fotai, ginseng, and Gotu-Kola in Japanese products because in World War II they found that when you took that into your body, effects of radiation weren't there. But I take Fotai, ginseng, and Gotu-Kola to the German FDA and they say, no way, but you can do B-complex. So I could do B15, B17 on trilocytes. Then I turn back and go to Japan, can I do B-complex over here? No, it's still illegal. So that's how it works. Each country takes a piece of it and does what they want with it, and that's the way the chemicals are with the contrails.
All right. West of the Rockies, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi. This is Ernie, Fresno, California.
Hey, Ernie.
You and Dr. Bell about 3 years ago about tinnitus ringing in the ear.
Yeah, that's where the myelin sheath is deteriorating.
Well, you suggested using
BC lecithin.
Well, okay, now how much of that? I've been using 6,000 milligrams of essential oils for the last 3 years, and it hasn't helped much.
No, you got to use phosphorylated choline complex, 1,200 milligrams, three times a day with the oil. You have to have that.
Phosphorylated?
Yeah, phosphorylated. P-H-O-S-P-H-A-T-I-D-L-Y-L, choline complex.
Yeah.
That's what you need. And then vitamin E, primrose oil, and flaxseed oil. And oil blend, and you will fix the problem. And it takes more now because the ELF is much worse now than it was a few years ago. It's way worse now. We got satellites up there blowing it out, and of course the HARP stuff going on, which is a whole other show here someday. We'll do HARP, and that's a lot of bad energy on the human nervous system.
Wildcard Line, you're on with Dr. Fred Bell.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
I'm Steve from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I had a question for Mr. Dr. Bell.
Go ahead.
In the last hour, you spoke about a necklace that you had invented and that worked somehow to restore your DNA or worked on
resonation. Yeah, it respirals DNA. The human body, when you're born, you have 46 base pairs per turn. That tells the human fetus to come out of the to give birth. That's the signal. As soon as you take your first breath, you got 34 base pairs per turn. You've lost 25% of your life in your first 30 seconds. When you're 18, you have 18 base pairs per turn. And when you're 50, you've got 6. So it reverses that process electronically.
Yeah. Okay. And I thought that you said that it worked on resonation.
Yeah, it does. It works on earth resonant generation because the entire human body works that way. You know, as we've changed the earth, for example, in Methuselah lived during Atlantean times. We had a lifespan of 650 years. Today, then for a while, we the turn of the century, we created a lot of things. We died of tuberculosis and arthritis. Then we changed the frequency of the planet around. We're living longer again. So it depends on what the frequency of the world is, how your DNA should be.
About 100 years ago, Fred, a 50-year-old was old, wasn't he?
Yeah, but then, 100 years ago. And that's where trace minerals came in the early 20s. When trace minerals were discovered by the Indians, then the arthritis was whipped, because arthritis was the first condition that killed people. It usually led to pneumonia. And then they turned that around with trace minerals, and that became a big industry, which it is today. And, you know, and so after that was turned around, then other things came along, and then people started living longer. And as a result of living longer, then all the poisons from your aluminum and all that showed up. So now we had Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, which didn't show up because nobody lived long enough eating out of aluminum utensils and putting all kinds of chemicals in your body. So if we clean our bodies up, I guarantee you, we can easily hit 150 even now. It's not a problem.
I had all my old mercury fillings taken out.
That was smart.
Ago. Yep.
Yeah, you can't have those. I had mine actually fell out when I started wearing a pyramid because I make a thing called a power dome. You wear it on your head, and it takes all the poisons out of your body. The first thing that falls out, your fillings. I got a lot of brand-new enamel-built teeth in here now.
Send me the holographic projector, and I'll test it.
Yeah, I want you to.
All right.
I'm going to send you three things and a star orb.
How about some suggested questions, or do I just go for it?
Well, you can contact me and I'll explain it to you. You know,
okay.
I'll hook it up and everything. You know,
that's
not a problem.
All right. Fred, thank you so much.
Okay. Can I give out my last numbers here?
Go for it.
Okay. 1-800-729-2603. And if you're local in California, we have a 949-376-3904. 376-3904, 949 prefix, and 1-800-729-2603. See you around. Look forward to talking to everybody. Give us time to get back to you. It takes a few days. We get back to everybody.
And it's Paradigm.com. Thank you, Fred. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, Roch Mitchell, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.